God be with you and welcome to worship at Knox United Church in Parksville. And we recognize that we are on the traditional territory of the Pentlatch peoples, the ancestors of the Nanus and Qualicum nations, with whom we continue to work toward truth and reconciliation. And at Knox United Church, while we may sometimes fail, as often any church does, we still uphold our values of compassion, inclusion, joy, and spirituality, and we are working toward building community that cares, shares, and dares as we are guided by the creative spirit of God. There are a few announcements before we begin to worship. Last week, Jan Korvamacher created a beautiful video, and there was a little bit of technical glitches which were resolved, and so if you would like to look at your latest congregational email that came out last week, I think it came out on Monday, and have a look at that video. It's very beautiful, and Jan created it based on her own photos, and so it is very grounding and gracious. So take a look at that and be grounded in God through that video. Also, congratulations to a couple of people this week who are celebrating special birthdays. On June 14th, Carol Sepp turns 70, and Martha Powell turns 90. So congratulations to both Carol and Martha on those milestones. And I believe there's going to be a drive-by 90th birthday celebration for Martha Powell on Sunday in the afternoon. So check your congregational emails on that. And also a reminder that next week is Father's Day. So if you could please send in to Sandy in the tech room photos of fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and the families so that we can celebrate Father's Day in that way. And thanks to Leslie Hawley for once again creating beautiful floral arrangements on our theme of God as the ground of our being. And thanks to Alex and Chelsea for adding their gift of song to our worship services. And of course, thanks to Jenny for being on the piano and the organ, and to Karen for recording, and for Sandy for being in the tech room. So, let us light the Christ candle as a sign that we begin this time of worship in the light of our God. Let us begin by worshiping, by making peace with one another. And so, as Alex and Chelsea sing that we're standing on holy ground, let us be reminded that we are indeed on holy ground and pass the peace through cyberspace, being at one with all. Recognize that God is the very ground of our being. We celebrate that God is in all things. And so while we are standing on holy ground, we recognize that this is God's holy ground and that all of creation, God, lives and moves and has God's being. So let us sing together, God of the Sparrow. Sacred source of all life, ground of our being, we give thanks for the beauty of this universe, for stars, for this beautiful blue-green planet spinning in space, for the beauty and wonder of your creation, for the trees and hills and oceans and rivers and mountains, green grass and blue skies. For this planet that teems with life, we give thanks. We give thanks that you are always as close to us as our next breath, that in you we live and move and have our being. Help us to draw close to you and to one another in this time. Help us to become aware, to become conscious that you are here with us, wherever we find ourselves. Ground us in you. Root us in your love, we pray. In the name of Jesus, your anointed one, we ask. Amen. I would invite Alex MacDonald to offer us a reading of Acts 17. 22-28.
Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, this God who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Nor is this God served by human hands, as though God needed anything, since God gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, God made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for God and find God, though indeed God is not far from each one of us. For in God we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are God's offspring.
Two little boys were known troublemakers who liked to steal everything they could get their hands on, even from the church. One day, a priest stopped one of the boys and asked, "Where is God?" The boy shrugged, and the priest repeated, "Where is God?" The boy ran out of the cathedral crying to his home, where he hid in a closet. Eventually, his brother found him and asked, "What's wrong?" The crying boy replied, "We're in trouble now. God is missing, and they think we took him." I begin with a confession. We began this sermon series entitled A 5G God as a way to reflect and remember five aspects of God, all beginning with G. We began our first week with God as gift. The following weeks, we explored the glory of God, then the guidance of God, and last week, the grace of God. But as it turns out, I miscalculated when Father's Day is. It's not today, it's next Sunday. So we needed an additional G. So it turns out that our God is not a 5G God, but a 6G God, which, when we think about it, should not be surprising, because I think our God has a far greater range of communication than even our human-made IT communication systems. So today, we're already advancing to a 6G God. So our fifth G in our 6G God is ground as God as ground of being. Before we explore and unpack what that even means, I think it's important that we first reflect on the ways that this time that you and I are living in, it feels very ungrounded. For the past years, as a global community, we have been feeling very unsettled. There seems to be a lot of anger and anxiety and disconnection and uncertainty. In 9/11/2001, that day issued in a time of a feeling of worldwide sense of insecurity. And for the first time in our generation, there was a lack of safety on our own North American soil. And while the Obama years felt like a time of stability and movement toward positive values of compassion and inclusion, the Trump administration has brought a renewed sense of unpredictability and seems to have a lack of respect for the diversity of humankind. So living next to a less stable, less collaborative and cooperative superpower has caused a great deal of tension in our own society. And in our own country, we've just recently begun to face our own history of racism with the indigenous peoples and with the 92 calls for action and truth and reconciliation. And then, in the span of the last 12 months, we have confronted some major issues in our world. We've begun to face the seriousness of the climate crisis and the clash between the environment and our economies. And then in Canada, we recently faced the confrontation between our indigenous peoples and the building of pipelines. Then we grappled and are still grappling with changes in our society brought about by a worldwide pandemic, which we are still in and still adjusting to, not knowing quite what phase we're in or where we're going. And now what is surfacing are the apparent cracks in our healthcare system, and in particular, our long-term care for our unwell elderly population. At the same time, we are facing the economic crisis deepened by COVID-19 and the increasing disparity between the rich and the poor and the burden placed on a shrinking middle class in our country. And now in the last couple of weeks, with the tragic death of George Floyd and the young 26-year-old woman in New Brunswick and the Black Lives Matter movement, there is a tragic recognition of racism and injustices within our own law enforcement systems, which we have created and are being questioned and challenged. It has been shocking for all of us. So here we are, living in a time in which all of the systems that we have created are being questioned and challenged, and rightly so. And the cracks and disparity and injustices are being recognized. And so we're living in a time when emotions and fear are bubbling over and systems are being shaken to the core, and our world feels very ungrounded. And while it is a very uncomfortable and unpredictable and uncertain, unsettled time, it has the potential to be a holy time. a time where we can begin to see with clearer 2020 vision the world as it really is, instead of the way we thought or hoped it was. In Neil Donald Walsh's series of books called Conversations with God, in book 2, God says to Walsh, "Your human-made systems do not uphold the dignity of all people. They are not grounded in love, and so they need to be dismantled and to be rebuilt in a more just and compassionate way of functioning for the common good of all." In Walsh's Conversations with God, God challenges our educational system, our economic and financial systems, our political systems and governments, our healthcare systems, our legal systems, our military systems, and our law enforcement systems, and our religious systems. In fact, according to Walsh's Conversation with God, God expresses a need for us to overhaul all of our human-made systems. And it seems to me that in 2020, that is exactly where we have landed. All of our systems are imploding because they seem to be flawed. So they are unsustainable because they are not based on universal spiritual values of grace and goodness and generosity and compassion and equity. Apparently, they are not grounded in God, who is the very ground of our being. So in this time when all these issues are colliding and all these systems being challenged, when everything that grounds us is under threat, and we feel like we are on ground that keeps moving daily beneath our feet, when we are living through this worldwide earthquake of sorts, a shaking up and shaking down of the way things have been, how do we remain grounded? In 1916, a young military chaplain during World War I was feeling like the world as he knew it was crashing down around him. It felt like the whole world had gone mad in a time of great violence. He wrote a friend that as a chaplain, he was digging more graves in the dirt than he was spending time sharing the sacraments. It was then that the young chaplain searched his heart and mind and began to recognize that his understanding of God, as he had traditionally perceived God, needed to change. That if we had a supernatural God who was a being in the sky managing all of this chaos, then this supernatural being was apparently not doing a very good job controlling the earth, and certainly doing an even lousier job of controlling human beings and their darker tendencies toward violence. So Paul Tillich began to rethink his understanding of God and began to formulate an understanding of God that was not necessarily transcendent, was not a physical supernatural being outside the universe, but a God that was immanent, immanent, and was in fact the ground of our very beingness itself. Paul Tillich began to talk about God as the ground of all being, the centered presence of the divine, the whole world as God's periphery. Tillich reasoned that human life may be finite, destined for dirt and death, evidenced by all the graves he was digging. But the ground and all that came from it, all the earth was drenched with the divine, the source of infinite holiness and wholeness. Tillich did not mean that God was literally soil, for God is not a visible object. But God was a numinous presence, the divine spirit infusing the center of all things and is what grounds us. This understanding of God as the ground of all being is present in all of the world's great religions, As Diane Butler Bass in her book Grounded discusses, most tribal religions are based upon the intimate connection of God with the earth. All the indigenous peoples have known that. Buddhists see the world as it is, as a stage of all spiritual activity. There is no separation between secular and sacred. For Hindus, Brahman is the source of life, represented by the sacred vibration of the word Om, which brought the world into existence in the first place. Just as we as Christians talk about the Logos, the divine word, being there in the beginning. The world itself, the Brahmins saw as the expression of Brahman's dream. And Judaism and Christianity and Islam share a creation story in which the earth is the embodiment of God's breath and insist that God is present everywhere and in all things. In our scripture today, the Apostle Paul is trying to share his understanding of God with the people of Athens. And he notices that amidst all of their Greek statues of gods and goddesses of Artemis and Athena, there is a statue in the Areopagus that is inscribed to an unknown god. And Paul respectfully compliments the Greek society on being a religious society and then shares with the people of Athens that he has encountered this unknown god who has come to reveal God's self as the Lord of both earth and heaven. And this God is in all things. And that from this God, we are all offspring, all children born of this God, and therefore brothers and sisters. And it is in this God that is very close to each one of us that we all live and move and have our being. Both the Apostle Paul and Paul Tillich offer us a radical understanding of the nature of God. The God who is the ground of all being, the one who gives life to all things and is close to all creatures and with whom there is no separation, because we're actually grounded in God, rooted in God at all times. We are no more separated from God as the tree is separate from its roots in the earth. It is this God who cannot help but ground us. Because we are always grounded in God, for God is the ground of our being. So when we're all living in these times and feeling ungrounded, how do we become grounded in the ground of our being? In our Zoom Bible study this week, we shared with one another the various ways that we become ungrounded in our lives. We talked about the times that we are living in unground us. We talked about feeling out of sorts in our relationships, which unsettles us. Or feeling discontent with ourselves, which ungrounds us. So if these things unground us, then they are perhaps the clues to the ways we can become more grounded. So one of the first things we can do to ground ourselves and get reconnected with the God who is the ground of our being is to take time to be with the earth, to remember that we are indeed ground, that we're made up of the same substance as the dirt, as the stars, as the planets, as trees and birds and chimpanzees. We are all offspring of the ground of our being. This is something that indigenous cultures have always known. If we want to feel more grounded, then it's a good place to begin to go and be grounded in the ground, to reconnect ourselves with the world of nature, to feel the wind by the ocean, to feel a part of the sea, to smell the dirt after a rain, to lie down in the grass and gaze up at the stars on a starry night until we can feel like we can reach out and touch them, to feel the roughness of the bark on a cedar tree, or feel the sand beneath our feet, or the sun on our face. A first step in being grounded is to recognize our connection with the ground, the earth, the source of all things. This past week, Rain has been a research assistant for an Indigenous Studies course called Land is Life. And the course, of course, has needed to be virtual this year. And in one of the videos that the class watched, an Indigenous elder gave an assignment. And the assignment was this, and perhaps it can be our assignment, to go and commune with a cedar tree. The elder shared with the students the importance of going out and connecting with the cedar tree, of communing with the tree and asking its permission to touch it and to sit with it, to watch and to listen. Sit, watch, and listen to the earth. The students have all been amazed that they have actually experienced, to their surprise, an intimate connection with the tree. And they talked about having an experience of warmth or a peace emanating from the tree when they stopped and gave attention to the cedar, took time to honor it and hold it in deepest reverence. If we want to become grounded and connect with the ground of our being, we need to intimately connect with nature, with God. A second way of becoming grounded in this time of ungrounding is to become grounded in our own sacred space, to make peace with the God who dwells within our own beingness. It's been my experience that when I'm out of sorts with myself, if I am not happy with something I have said or done, then I feel ungrounded, disconnected with my own spirit. It is interesting that as children, we may have been grounded as a discipline. I know I was. To be grounded was intended to be a time of reflection, a time to become regrounded in what is good and right and true. So maybe it's important that as adults, we perhaps need to once in a while ground ourselves and get in touch with our own emotions, recognize our own thoughts, whether positive or negative, and to become acquainted with our own beingness, come to know and accept ourselves as we are in any given moment. We are so very good at judging ourselves and being harsh and critical of whatever thoughts come into our mind or feelings that we're feeling. And then we heap guilt upon ourselves. And when we do that, we lose the ground of our beingness. When we are impatient toward ourselves and at war with our own thoughts and feelings, we become disconnected, ungrounded. One of the healing processes that I feel is most helpful for people is a process called the emotional journey, in which we uncover all the layers of the emotion that we build up each year of our lives until finally we have unwittingly built up a wall within ourselves as hard as any sedimentary rock. Layers and layers and layers of anger or hurt or feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness or fear. In this guided healing process, we begin to allow ourselves to feel temporarily that feeling we are feeling and then release the feeling one layer at a time. And it may take an hour to go through those layers of sedimentary feelings and letting go of each of those emotions until finally we discover at the very bottom of all the sedimentary layers, at the very deepest inner core of our very being, we sense God at the ground of our beingness. This God who is the ground of our being can be experienced as pure love or pure joy or pure peace or pure well-being or pure freedom. We discovered at the very center of who we are, at the deepest core of our withinness, the God of pure being is there, underlying all that we are. God is indeed the ground and source of our being, and we sense our own groundedness in God. And finally, we can often feel ungrounded when we are out of sorts within our relationships that are important to us. And so in order to become grounded, we need to take the time to heal our relationships with each other. When we do everything that we can to make peace with someone who is not at peace with us, even if we can still feel ungrounded, if we make the attempt to make peace with those who are not at peace with us and let go any feelings of ill will or hurt, it is in our letting go of hurts and angers and resentments that we find our footing and we sense our groundedness, our connection to all things. When we send our love and our care to all creatures, even those who have wanted to do us harm, there is a sense of peace and grounding that comes. It is in healing of our relationships we discover our connectedness with the ground of being. So, in this world that is currently feeling very ungrounded, in this time of so many things moving and shifting beneath our feet, we can hold on to Paul's words to the people of Athens and sense that it is in this God that we indeed live and move and have our very being, who is as close to us as our next breath. And that just as when George Floyd cried out for his next breath and for his mother, his spirit released and was carried out on his last breath upon the ruach, the wind, the spirit, the breath of God, in whom we all live and move and have our very existence. May we each find ourselves grounded in this God of our being. May it be so. Amen. We sing together our hymn, Shadow and Substance. It's a beautiful poem. Shadow and substance, wonder and mystery, spellbinding atoms, spinner of atoms and earth, soul of the cosmos, person and energy, source of our being, we sing of your worth. We are your image, formed in community, sisters and brothers of Adam and Eve. You gave us color, custom and history. Teach us to honor what others receive. Naming the nameless, spirit of unity, scanning the heavens for signs of your care. God of the ages, give us humility. Guide us to mystical union in prayer. And so we take this time to enter into a state of prayer, and we allow the singing bowl to invite us in. Spellbinding spinner of atoms and earth, we give thanks for the beauty and wonder of this planet. Ground us in all things good. Help us to ground ourselves in the beauty of your earth. Help us to find your presence within our very own sense of being. And help us to be connected to the ground of your being in one another. O God, gather us in and ground us in you. Life, help us to see you in all things, as the mystics did, as Jesus did, as Paul did. Help us to see you in the tears of a grieving parent, in the grieving partner, in the grieving child. Help us to feel the pain of human existence, so that we might grow more compassionate. Help us to see you in the beauty of creation. Help us to see you in the wrinkled face of someone celebrating their 90th birthday, or in the smiles and radiance of a young graduate who graduates this year under strange circumstances. Help us to see you wherever we may look, wherever we may find ourselves. Help us to see you as the ground of our very being and honor one another, respecting one another. We pray this day for all those who are suffering from COVID-19 around the world, for countries hardest hit, for countries experiencing increase numbers as they reopen. Give us the wisdom we need to open wisely and well and in safety. We pray this day for all healthcare workers, all those at risk who are making sacrifices daily to work with those and help bring healing. We pray for all those who are suffering other illnesses, those who are undergoing surgeries and recovery, those who are waiting for test results, those going through treatments of cancer and other illnesses. Guide the surgeons, guide the nurses, guide the respiratory therapists and all healthcare workers. Ground all of us, root us in your great love. O God, gather us in. Pray this day that we might find you in all the systems that we have created. Help us to rebuild and transform systems of disparity into equality, systems of injustice. Help us move us toward justice. Help us to know that Black lives matter. Indigenous lives matter. Asian lives matter. Help us put an end to racism in all its shapes and forms. And now in the silence, we bring before you our own concerns, and we lift them to you. God, we give thanks that every time we look for you, we find you, because you have never left. For you are the ground of our very being. Gather us in as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him in his way of compassion and peacemaking and justice and unity. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we sing together a great hymn, How Great Thou Art. Feeling ungrounded, in these ungrounding times. What is it that your spirit longs for to be grounded? Go forth to do that, whether it be to walk into nature and reconnect, whether it is to go deep within and get to know, or to reach out to someone with whom you are in conflict and make a bridge. Whatever will ground you, go forth to do that, for we are always grounded, rooted in the love of our God. So go forth in the love of that God, and in the peace and the wisdom of the Christ, and in the power and strength and courage of the Holy Spirit, this day and every day. Amen.